Today with Joseph Prince.
As the Lord brings someone to your mind and all that, just encourage them. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the Lord puts on your heart compassion for someone, it's not by chance. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Amen. The church needs a lot of encouragement because there's been a lot of discouragement heaped on the church. Amen. So let's encourage one another. It's incumbent on us to encourage our people, amen, as well as to challenge them to look forward to the coming of the Lord, amen, praise the Lord, to wait for His Son from heaven, not look to the grave, but to wait for His Son from heaven. Greetings, church. I'm excited to share with you a prophetic message the Lord gave me during my time with Him in the Word. I was preparing along the lines of the Hazon vision when the Lord, you know, He intervened right there and gave me a verse and spoke to me from His Word, a verse that I've read many times, but I never saw the prophetic implications of it. So I'm really excited to share that with you. It's got to do with the pandemic as well. Praise the Lord. But before that, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1 at the Christian posture. We are to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. You see, our Christian position today, our posture today, is not to look forward to finally we end up in the grave. Amen. We end up dying. That's not the Christian position. If you read carefully in the New Testament, it's always pointing to the coming of the Lord. Even Paul, he was looking forward to the coming of the Lord because no one knows the day nor the hour. But of all the generations that ever lived since Jesus arose from the dead, it is our generation that saw Israel come back as a nation in 1948. We saw the fulfillment of two great world wars that Jesus talked about. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And he's talking about a world war on that scale, a global war. And we saw that in this past generation. Jesus says, Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles until all the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So we know that Jerusalem fell into the hands of the Gentiles. All right, the moment Israel rebelled against God and God sent them into captivity. Amen. God delivered them into the hands of the Babylonians. And since then, the prophetic time clock started ticking. And from that on, all the way, even the time of Jesus, they were under the Romans. So Jerusalem has been under the foot of Gentiles all these years. But in 1967, in the Six-Day War, Jerusalem came back to the Jews. Amen. And this is a fulfillment of Scripture. Amen. The Bible says that Jerusalem will be under the foot of non-Jews until, notice there's an until, the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So give and take, we are in the season where the times of the Gentiles are about to be fulfilled. It's not fully fulfilled yet. It will be fulfilled, but an indication there from what Jesus said, the moment Jerusalem comes back to the hands of the Jews. And we also see in the scriptures that the Bible tells us that before He comes again, there'll be great earthquakes. All right, not just a normal small-scale earthquake, but great earthquakes. We've never seen great earthquakes on the scale that we have seen in our generation. It's almost many a times back-to-back. In a given year, we never had so many great earthquakes as we have seen in recent years. So we also see Jesus saying not just great earthquakes, He also says plagues. Amen? Plagues, pandemics, like we are right now in the midst of one. And He used the word plural, actually, all right, for plagues. So there's more than one plague. And all these are the beginning of sorrows or the birth pangs, pointing to the coming of the Lord. So we know that the rapture is coming and the earth is travailing. The Lord is just telling us God is not behind the world wars. God is not behind the earthquakes. He's not behind the pandemics, the plagues. But God is the one telling us that the earth is groaning because of man's sin and is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And these are the signs. These are the symptoms, so to speak, amen, that you need to look out for that will point you to the nearness of the coming of the Lord. So no one knows the day nor the hour. If you read, you know, on the internet or on YouTube, like someone just asked me the other day about a certain a YouTube post that they saw telling people about the day and the time when the Lord will return, you can just forget about it, all right? Because no one knows the day nor the hour, amen? But we can see The signs are all telling us that we are actually that final generation. Amen. And I believe it's going to be soon. We're going to see the Lord. And this is our Christian position, to wait for His Son from heaven. Amen. So when Jesus comes again, this is going to happen. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. By the way, when the Bible says, I tell you a mystery, it is not a mystery here. It's not something hidden like a mystery novel. You only know the real plot of the whole thing until at the end of the novel. But a mystery in New Testament sense is always something that was once hidden, but is now revealed. Once hidden, now revealed. So actually, when you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it is something that's now revealed. It's our privilege to know that this mystery now revealed. And Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So the rapture is for all. I say the rapture is for all. The word all is used emphatically here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So if you're truly born again, all right, you will be raptured regardless of your spiritual growth. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. So the dead will be raised first, and they'll be raised in a body that's incorruptible, and we also shall be changed. How? This corruptible, referring to our bodies, must put on incorruption, just like Jesus' body when He rose from the dead. He did not rise from the dead with just spirit and soul. He rose with a body, a new body, a body that is tangible, and yet it can transcend matter, it can transcend space and time. He could appear and disappear. That's the kind of body that you and I are going to have. The Bible says that God will change our vile bodies unto His glorious body. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says also that this mortal, which is our body, must put on immortality. Now, when this happened, when this corruptible body has put on incorruption and this mortal body has put on immortality, don't you just love that word, immortality? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, keep this in mind, because that prophetic verse that I talked to you about has got to do with this verse. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is taken from Isaiah 25. Right from the prophecy of Isaiah, it goes on to say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. What causes death? Death is total, right? Death is, you know, you cannot climb the highest mountain to escape death, cannot swim in the deepest ocean to escape it. Death is total, and yet not for the believer. There is a generation that will not see death. The Enoch generation. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God translated him. So rapture is found all the way throughout the Old Testament. Even Elijah was raptured bodily. Amen. So the rapture is not a new concept. Okay, it's there in the Old Testament. But the Bible tells us that when we have this fulfillment, all right, when this takes effect in us, when Jesus comes again, He will transform our vile bodies like unto His glorious body, it says in Philippians. And then, hallelujah, we'll be transformed like His body. We can transcend matter, space, and time. We can appear and disappear, even physically. Amen. We'll travel faster than the speed of light. Amen. And the entire universe is our playground. Praise the Lord. And we can never fall sick ever again. We will never die. For how long? Forever. Praise the Lord. We are forever young, forever healthy, forever strong. What a future to look forward to. Amen. Jesus says it like this. When all these things happen, amen, all the signs that He talked about, lift up your heads. Don't look down. Don't look to the grave. That's not the destiny of the believer. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. What redemption? They are already saved. The ones that He's talking to are saved by His blood. Amen. We are saved by His blood already. Amen. So that's one aspect of redemption. But the thing that we're waiting for right now is our bodily redemption. Amen. This body, you know, unfortunately, it decays. You know, it grows old. It falls sick. you know, subject to sickness and all that. Yes, we can trust God for healing, but healing, the idea of healing is actually not immortality. Healing is for a temporal body, for a mortal body. But what we are looking forward when Jesus comes again is immortality, a body that is immortal. Hallelujah, like Jesus' body. Amen. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to that? Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, lift up your heads when you see the signs happening. Your bodily redemption draws near when all these signs is happening. Praise the Lord. And I'm seeing the signs more than ever before. And we can say this safely compared to the other generation that lived prior to Israel coming back as a nation. And in fact, the Bible prophesied that Israel will come back as a nation. In Isaiah 66, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? There you have it. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? What is God talking about? Keep on reading. Or shall a nation be born at once? What nation is that? Zion, Israel. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. So Zion refers to Israel. The moment she's in labor, she gave birth to her children. So on May 15, 1948, they came back as a nation after they wandered literally, amen, for 2,000 years. They were driven from their homeland by the Romans, and they have always been part of the diaspora all over the world, but they came back as a nation, amen, and became a nation in one day, May 15, 1948. 15 years after 1948 is 1963. On May 15, a child was born. Hallelujah. Amen. So I was destined to preach, amen, this message. I was destined to preach on rest, amen, which is one of my biggest subjects and my favorite subjects to preach on. Rest in the new covenant, praise the Lord. Because 15 is a number of rest. So Israel came back on 15th of May. Amen. That's the 5 for grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 15 years from 1948 to 1963. I just love that. Amen. It's a personal revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't listen to those who tell you that He's going to come back on this year or that year. No one knows the day nor the hour, but we can tell sort of that the season is very close. For example, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, right? It says here in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, how we are looking forward to assemble ourselves once again, don't we? Amen. Aren't we looking forward to that, church? I sure am. I miss you all so much. Amen. And I know that being separated and all that, you know, physically, just cannot take the place of being together physically. Amen. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So when I read this, I tell the Lord, Lord, if we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then you must do something about this pandemic. Amen. You got to do something about it, Lord, because it is not your will that we remain separate. Amen. We're not designed, amen. We're not designed to be physically separated from one another. Amen. We are to be together. And there's strength, there's power, there's blessing. Like Psalms 133 tells us, when brethren dwell together in unity, when we come together, amen, and worship the Lord. So the Lord has to do something. So I said, Lord, you got to do something. Amen. And the Lord will. Notice when this is going to take place. It says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that's what I'm saying. I'm seeing the day approaching. I'm sure many of you are seeing the day approaching. And so much the more we are to not forsake the assembling as we see the day approaching, and also exhorting one another, encouraging one another. So we are to encourage one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. And you know, encouragement is a lost art because the world is discouraging the church. Have you noticed that lately? The world is discouraging the church. Yes. Sometimes it's the church's fault, right? But sometimes it's not the church's fault. They're just taking something that we believe in and they're twisting it around. But notice that the church needs a lot of encouragement because there's been a lot of discouragement heaped on the church. Amen. So let's encourage one another. Amen. The Bible says in the book, same book of Hebrews, it says, exhort one another daily. Amen. Lest you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. And that's one reason why I believe that God gave us these smartphones and because we can actually exhort one another daily. Back in the past when this was not available, it's kind of hard. Amen. To exhort one another daily. And as the Lord brings someone to your mind and all that, just encourage them. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the Lord puts on your heart compassion for someone, it's not by chance. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Amen. The Holy Spirit puts that care. Just like Paul says that, I want to thank God that God put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus. That's how God does it. That's how God leads us. He put that compassion. He puts that care in the heart of Titus. That's how He does it for us. Amen. And we have to do this, encouraging one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We are seeing the day approaching. Amen. So we need to encourage one another. And not only that, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So God has to do something, amen, so that we'll not forsake the assembling, physical assembling of ourselves together, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. You know, God works like in parallels, in the old and the new. Amen. For example, in the first coming of Jesus, when He came here as a baby, remember that the Lord actually revealed His coming to shepherds. So I believe there's something that God is telling us, that so much the more as you see the day approaching, usually the shepherds of the churches are the ones that God will impart a revelation or a sensing of the day approaching so that they'll know what to do, okay? And I believe that shepherds that are watching this, amen, it's incumbent on us to encourage our people, amen, as well as to challenge them to look forward to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. To wait for His Son from heaven. Not look to the grave, but to wait for His Son from heaven who will transform our bodies like to His glorious body. Hallelujah. Can't wait for the day, man, that this mortal will put on immortality. And we all look like Pastor Lawrence. Hallelujah. With biceps. Amen. We'll all be as cute as Pastor Mark. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We'll never die. We'll be forever young. Amen. And our bodies is not subject to boredom. Our new bodies is not subject to, tiredness and fatigue. Amen. Imagine what you can do in that body. Hallelujah. Forever young, forever healthy, forever strong. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I want to come to that prophetic word that the Lord gave me. But before that, let's look at Genesis 13. To what God said to Abraham. We studied this last week. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Remember when I shared this? I shared about how God showed Abraham the land. And God says, walk through the land after that. All the land that you see, God says, walk through the land. Amen. And God told him specifically, all the land that you see, I will give it to you. And we know that he didn't walk physically. He walked in the spirit. He began to see it in his heart. Amen. He began to travel in his spirit. Amen. He began to see the north, the south, the east, and the west part of the land of Israel. And God says, for all the land that you see, I'll give to you. Notice when this happened, when his eyes was open, amen, to this horizon vision of the Lord. When did God give him this vision of the land? When did this happen? This happened when, after Lot had separated from him. Notice the Lord said, lift your eyes now. When? After Lot had separated from him. Now, this is very interesting because there are no insignificant details in the Bible. The Bible is so rich, amen, in its truths that even names in the Bible conveys truth. Amen. Like the Bible says, like in the valley of Achor, in Israel, there's a valley called the Valley of Achor. All right. In that valley, God will set a door of hope. Now, it doesn't make sense. Why of all the valley, this valley? But when you look at the name Achor, it means trouble. So God is saying, in the valley of trouble, He's going to open to you a door of hope. Let that be a word for some of you. Amen. You're in a valley of trouble. But only when we look at the meaning of the word in Hebrew, Achor, we find the word trouble. We understand that every name, even the Old Testament, has meaning for us. Even the New Testament, it has meaning, it has significance. And sometimes what you can get from the superficial reading, you can get from looking into the names. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So If you look at the name Lot, after Lot had separated from him, then God spoke to Abraham, right? Lot is actually the word Lot. That's how they pronounce it. And Lot in Hebrew means a veil, a covering. A veil or a covering. Now, we're coming to the prophetic word that the Lord gave to me. And it's got to do with this veil, this covering. See, there are two basic words for veil and covering. One is lot, which means a veil, like a woman wears a veil, or even a mask, right? And the other word for veil is the word masika, masika. Masika, if you say it real fast in Hebrew, masika, masika, mask, 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 mask. You get the word mask, all right, for covering. That's where, you know, the word mask came from, the etymology of the Arabic word, which is actually mascara. And an Arab language and Hebrew language share the same Semitic roots, okay? So you say masika real fast. It's the veil, mask. You get the mask. Right? So here is something that the Lord opened my eyes to, and I want you to receive this. I'm really excited to share this with you. So only when the veil departed from Abraham can Abraham see northward, southward, eastward. Only when the veil has been lifted from Abraham, the Bible says, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes, referring to the spiritual eyes. That's what we are praying for every day, right? That God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart being enlightened, being open. Just like Abraham, God opened up the eyes of his heart and he saw the entire land. And whatever you see with the eyes of your heart is yours. Amen. For all the land that you see, I give it to you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to share this principle with you because it's very important you understand that in the Bible, when a Bible shares a prophetic truth, there's also a two side to that wisdom. Okay, God's word is wisdom. Look at Job 11. That God would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are what? Double to that which is. Okay, so there's a natural interpretation and there's a spiritual interpretation. Don't forget, the secrets of wisdom is double to that which is. Look at the NASB version says, and God will show you the secrets of wisdom, for sound wisdom has two sides. Now, this is very important because just now we saw Isaiah 66, right? It says, as soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion was in labor. Now, Zion in the natural refers to Israel, the nation of Israel, okay? But Zion is also a picture of Mount Zion in the Bible is used spiritually. Like in Hebrews 12, it says to the believer, to the new covenant believer, it says, you're not come to the mount that can be touched, that burns with fire, that is in darkness and blackness and tempest. Amen. That's Mount Sinai, right? So the Spirit of God is telling the believer, you're not come to Mount Sinai, but you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. You're come to an innumerable company of angels and you're come to Jesus. Amen. You're coming to God. So God has moved mountains. From Mount Sinai, God has moved to Mount Zion. He's no more at Mount Sinai where the people receive the Ten Commandments, where they receive the law. And God has moved mountains, and the writer of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit tells us, you're no longer at Mount Sinai. You're not come to that mount, but you're come to Mount Zion. And it says to God, and also to Jesus, and to the blood of sprinkling, amen, and to innumerable company of angels. Even the angels are all there at Mount Zion, no longer in Mount Sinai, the Mount of demand. But Mount Zion is the Mount of supply. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died at the foot of the mountain. When God gave the Spirit, not the law, where was it? Mount Zion, literally at Mount Zion. In Jerusalem, amen, 3,000 people were saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It tells you very clearly what it says in 2 Corinthians 3, the letter kills, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. We need to, you know, start living in Mount Zion. Not have one foot in Mount Sinai and one foot in Mount Zion. Amen. God has moved mountains. I advise you to do so. Amen. Live in the spirit of Mount Zion. So notice Mount Zion can, in the natural, refer to Israel. But spiritually, which is two sides, sound wisdom has two sides, it refers to the new covenant, the realm of the new covenant, where all of us believers are now dwelling in. Amen. We are living in Mount Zion. Amen. We have all kinds of help there because there are all kinds of assistance from different types of angels that God has. And then we also have Jesus there. Amen. And we have the blood of sprinkling there. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if you don't change mountain, there's going to come a shaking where the things that are man-made will be shaken, but the things that are God ordained will not be shaken. Amen. And it goes on to say, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably and with reverence. Now, we are ready to go right into the scripture verse that the Lord gave me. Amen. I believe it's going to bless you. Look at Isaiah 25. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now, this is the portion that the Lord spoke to me, and I've read this portion many times. Amen. But I've never seen it the way the Lord opened it to me recently. And he says that he's going to do this. Amen. Look at this. Notice verse 7. God will destroy in this mountain. What mountain is that? Zion. If you look at the entire context of Isaiah 25, especially Isaiah 24, it talks about Mount Zion. So he will destroy in this Mount Zion the face of the covering. Now the face is panim, Hebrew for face, of the covering. The word covering here, very interesting, is the word lot. You remember Lot? Just now, Lot's name, right? That's the name Lot. Cast over all people, all right? It's a double use of Lot in the noun and in the verb. Lot over all people. The covering that is the veil, the mask that's covering all people. Not just people in Israel or another country or this nation or that, but over all people. And the veil that is spread over all nations. The veil here is the other word for covering, which is masaka. You get the word mask, right? You say it real fast. You hear the English word mask, right? And he's literally telling us, God will destroy at Mount Zion the face of the mask. You can say it mask because the mask is the veil, amen. And cast over all people. So if there's anything that characterizes this generation, if 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they do a documentary of our generation, the generation that faced the pandemic, how will they identify us? What is the prominent feature that people wearing masks, even the pictures and all that, people wearing masks, right? Whether it's in China or in US, in Europe, wherever you go, people are wearing masks. Amen. It is like a symbol of the pandemic that we are in. Never have people worn masks on such a scale, global scale, ever. Amen. With this kind of mask everywhere. It is all over. And God is saying, I'm going to destroy at Mount Zion. I'm going to destroy the face of the veil covering all the people. Covering all the people. Where will God do it? God said, in Mount Zion. Amen. God will destroy the face of the veil that covers all people at Mount Zion. Now, let's apply the two sides. Amen. First of all, there is a prophetic natural truth to this. When Jesus comes again, right, we know that the veil that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 3, where he says there's a veil on their hearts. When they read Moses today, all right, the people that read Moses, the Jewish people, when they read the first five books of the Old Testament, that's Moses. Amen. God used Moses to write the first five books of the Bible. But they don't see Jesus in it. They don't see the Messiah in it. All right? It's just to them laws after laws. Because why? There's a veil on their heart. But the Bible says when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. So we know that that's the truth. God will destroy this veil that covers people's the eyes of their heart. They can't see the Lord. They can't see how good God is. God will destroy that. Amen. In these days, praise the Lord. In fact, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, after it talks about Moses and the veil, it goes on to say that this is what is happening. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Notice, if a gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Satan has blinded the minds of those who are perishing. Why? As far as they're concerned, they can't see the gospel. They can't see the good news. The word gospel means good news, plain and simple. Amen. That Christ died for our sins and God is welcoming us home. God is not holding our sins against us. God is saying, come back to my arms of love. Amen. And what is the thing that the devil is using that is causing people to stay away from God, to be in the cold, away from the warmth of His love? The veil. Right? There's a spiritual veil on people's hearts, whose minds and on their minds, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the very fact the devil has to put a blinders, a veil on people's hearts and minds is so, because of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The light is so bright, the devil has to blind you. Amen? The devil has to put this veil so that you don't see how glorious the gospel is. Amen? It's amazing. You know, it's like I was reading the other day about the parable that Jesus shared just prior to the parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, the prodigal son, right? Chapter 14, he shares, a man made a great feast and he bade many to come to his great feast. Now, obviously, that's God the Father, amen? He made a great feast, right? And he bade them all to come to the feast. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, all the good things of God, amen? All the goodness of God, all the riches of God is at our disposal. It's as if God is saying, you know, love, the nature of love is to give, is to pour out, amen? Is to bless, amen? Is to sacrifice oneself even. And because Christ has done that at the cross, amen? In payment for our sins, He has accomplished redemption for us. God opens up His treasure house, amen? And it's like He make a great supper. He invites everyone to come in. And it's amazing. The Bible says that one by one gave excuse. I read it the other day and it says they all gave excuse. Not just one, all. They all gave excuse about not coming. The one of them said that I've bought me a plot of land, a piece of ground. I need to go and see it. Now, who buys a plot of ground, buy a piece of property, okay, first and then goes and see it later? No. We go and see it first, then we buy it, right? So it's an excuse. It's a lousy excuse. Amen. Then another one says, I have bought me 5 oxen. Amen. It's like I bought 5 cars or I bought a brand new car and I need to go and test drive it. I bought 5 oxen and I need to try them, prove them. Now, who does that? Who buys a car and then test drive it? Amen. Who buys 5 yoke of oxen and then examines them, whether they are fit for the work? No one does it. It's a lousy excuse. And the last one says, I have married me a wife. That's another excuse. And the Lord was angry. And the Lord said to the servant, it's a specific servant. So he refers to the Holy Spirit who sent. He said to the servant, go out to the streets and the lanes. And the lanes. Streets and lanes are smaller, right? Streets and lanes of the country. And bring in the lost, the lame, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Amen. The poor. It starts with the poor. Bring them all in. Amen. And the servant did that. And the servant says, there's still space. You know, always remember, God's supply is always greater than your need. Amen. Where sin increases, grace superabounds. Amen. We are more conscious of the lack. we are more conscious of our sin than we are of the superabundant supply and the superabundance of grace that swallows them up. Amen. So there's still space. Amen. Why? Because God's provisions is always greater. God's supply is always greater than our need. And this time, the Lord says, go out. He tells the servant, go out there. And this time he says, instead of going to the streets and the lanes, go out to the highways. Now, highways is actually where you have cities, right? And cities, you know, they are linked by highways, right? Highways is much larger. And not only that, go out to the highways and the hedges. Very interesting, hedges. Hedges is like a wall, a fence, right? But why is it that he says go to the highways, the cities, and then the hedges? When I read that, I began to realize that it's actually referring to a prophetic time table. The first part, 2,000 years ago, the gospel began to go into the streets and the lanes of the world. Amen. The Holy Spirit anointed men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and get many saved. Praise the Lord. But in our day and age, it is highways. And God is saying to the Spirit, go into the highways and go into the hedges. Now, hedges intrigue me. I began to think, why hedges? In fact, it's the last assignment, into the hedges. Hedges is the last one. Why hedges? When I think about it, the whole world right now is hedged up. Every country is hedged up. Amen. Varying degrees of hedges. Amen. We are all like, we're no more traveling. We're all hedged up. Amen. You can also refer to the hedge like the bamboo curtain, China, or the iron curtain, Russia. Amen. As well as all, because of this pandemic, there are hedges right now. Amen. And even like some countries would use what they call firewall to keep information, you know, within themselves, right? But notice that the last characteristic that will mark this generation is actually hedges. And we are living in those times. But in the streets and the lanes, the Lord told the Holy Spirit to bring them in. And the word there is lead them in, lead them in. But in the highways and the hedges, he says, compel them to come in. Compel is almost like, you know, a command. Command them to come in. I mean, what is it about us? What is it about us that we need to be compelled to be saved? Compelled to be healed? Compelled to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us? Well, what is it about us that we have an aversion to God and is drawn to the things of the devil who hates us so much with perfect hatred? What is it about us that we need to be compelled to enjoy the supper? Amen. The buffet is spread. In fact, in Isaiah 25, it tells us clearly, Isaiah 25, that before he destroys in this mountain the face of the veil that is cast over all people, he says in verse 6 here, in this mountain against Zion shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. What is this saying? It's telling us at Mount Zion, there'll be all kinds of good things for us to enjoy. Amen. God spreads it out. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Just like Jesus turned the water into wine, there's going to be a celebration of joy. And notice that the whole thing is sequential. First of all, we need to eat all the good things that God has for us. And then he will destroy. Notice that. It didn't say he will destroy first and then we eat. We eat and then he will destroy. Praise the Lord. And Psalms 23 tells us the same thing. He prepares a table before us. Amen. And in fact, the Hebrew says he prepares a table before us against our enemies. Right? In the presence of our enemies. So in other words, it is not the enemies are defeated and then we eat, which is a normal thing that we would do, right? But God is saying, eat before your enemy is defeated. Sit, and I'll make all your enemies your footstool. Sit first. It's easy to sit after you see all your enemies defeated. I don't care what your enemies are today. It can be some diagnosis from the doctor telling you have this disease or that disease, and things look bleak for you. Or it might be a rebellious a son, amen. There's not have no desire for the things of God. It might be your marriage is breaking down. Whatever the enemies are, amen. The Bible says, "Sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." That's what the Father said to the Son, but we are all seated with Christ. So it's the same posture we are to take. Amen. What the Father said to the Son is what the Father is saying to us. Rest until I make. Rest until I make all your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we eat. Amen. We eat all the feast of fat things, the feast of wines on the lees. By the way, wines on the lees here, you know, the lees is the dregs of the wine. You know, when they have the grape juice, right, at that level, they will store it before it becomes wine for the fermentation process to take place. But whatever is not, you know, the grape juice that is in the process of fermentation, it will all come down. Amen. There are elements of it that will come down all the way to the bottom. That's called the wines on the lees. All right, the dregs. Now, that is important because to get good wine, you actually have to have those dregs. The wine, the longer you keep it in the dregs below, the more it mixes with the dregs, the more it mixes with the dregs through a process of time. Now, all the while fermentation is taking place, but the more it sort of sits on the dregs, right? It increases in its strength and also in its color and in its taste. Amen? So you get the best wine when there's wine left on its dregs. Wines on the lees. I think that one reason why after we are saved, the Lord leaves the dregs of the old man in us, the flesh, we call it the flesh, amen, the part of us that want to do wrong, want to sin, amen, that part of us, we wish that we don't have that part. We wish that we can live in the joy-filled, you know, Zoe life that Jesus gave us. Once we are born again, we have that life, amen, but that life is mixed up with that dregs. I think one reason why is because of the dregs, all right, that joy-filled life has a different taste, has a different strength, amen. We are more humble, amen, because of the dregs. We realize we cannot boast like the Apostle Paul. We cannot boast. Why? Amen. Because of the dregs. We see that in our flesh, in our dregs, dwells no good thing, amen. But when our life sort of like, you know, coexist with that dregs, amen. And somehow, because of that, our life, you know, we are more humble. There's a beauty and excellency of humility that is real, and also there is a strength, amen, in the joy-filled life of Christ because of the dregs. Maybe that's one reason why the Lord left behind, instead of transforming us in that area, He left behind the flesh, the dregs, the wines on the lees. Amen. So once they extract the clear wine out, decanted. All right. Then you have the wine that, you know, they sell. Okay. And now it's clear wine, but it has all the fragrance and the strength because of being lying, you know, fermented on the dregs. Now it's ready. It's clear wine. And that wine is called, the last part, wines on the lees, well refined. That's the part where they extract it out already. Praise the Lord. Ready for sale. Amen. All this is available to us. Praise the name of Jesus. And we enjoy. All this is for us to enjoy. The word feast is always enjoyment. Amen. Back to the parable again. Notice that the Lord had to compel us to come in. Compel us to come in to enjoy what He has prepared. You know, our heart is so hard that God has to compel us to come in. You know, and the people of the world, if they see, if we can have eyes to see the Hazon vision, we can eyes to see all that God has for us. Amen. We'll abandon the kind of lifestyle we have. We'll abandon the low life for the high life in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll see, like, why am I sacrificing the goal for stones? I see it clearly now. Amen. It's because the devil has blinded the minds of the people. He has put a veil down here. See, if our gospel is not attractive, if our gospel is not glorious, why must the devil blind? All right? The fact is, it is glorious. That's why the devil has to cover the eyes so that the light doesn't shine. Right? Amen. So the Bible says we are waiting for that moment in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. We'll be forever immortal. Praise the Lord. How long does it take, Pastor Prince? Well, we read just now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, the twinkle of an eye, you look at someone's eye, it twinkles real fast and it's gone, right? That's how fast it's going to be. In an atomos in the Greek, in an atomic second, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. When it happens, it will happen quickly. Then, friend, when it happens, we'll look back and we'll ask ourselves, has it been worth it pursuing vain pursuits? Has it been worth it? Amen. Doing things, indulging in our flesh, has it been worth it? All we'll say, it's all worth it. Amen. When I look back in the grand scheme of things, down to the eons of time, I begin to see that what is done for Christ will last. Amen. What is done for self will be seen as it is. It's all vain, vanity of vanities. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Build your house on Christ. Amen. Amen. Bring your kids into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As long as they are in your house, amen, you have the authority, amen, you have the persuasive power that God has given you. Use it to bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Make sure they are safe at a young age. Praise the Lord. So the Lord says in the parable, go out. The last one is actually the hedges. It refers to the times that we are in. I believe that. Amen. And compel them to come in. I believe this pandemic is compelling people to come into the kingdom that otherwise would not have come in. You know, if God waited for us pastors all to preach the gospel, you know, I think he'll wait for a long, long time. Because obviously, you know, many of us are just satisfied to have our church live and all that. We'll not go online. But God is compelling us to go online. And now more and more people are tuning in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. More and more people are safe like never before. I believe it is fulfilling that the fulfillment of going out and compelling people to come in of that parable that the Lord said, you know, many years ago. Amen. He saw that the last territory, amen, the last field will be field of hedges. Amen. And look at where we are now. Who would have thought that countries will all be hedged up against one another? Amen. We will not allow people to come in, nor go out, right? But God will destroy all this, amen, in this mountain. Aren't we all looking forward to that? We all want to travel, right? We want to be one with one another. We want to live in this world that God has given us, praise the Lord, as much as possible. And more than anything else, we want to come together physically to worship the Lord. Amen? What's going to happen? Well, back to this again. He will destroy in this mountain, Mount Zion, the face of the covering. Now, first, the natural explanation. Amen? Because wisdom is double to that which is. Sound wisdom has two sides. Let's look at a natural side. In this mountain refers to Israel. Mount Zion refers to Israel. I believe from Israel will come something that will help the world. In other words, an end to the pandemic. So that's the natural. That's what the Lord showed me. Amen. It will come from this tiny nation of Israel. Amen. The Mount Zion in the natural. All right. Spiritually, amen. This veil that blocks us from seeing all the good things that God has for us. Amen. From seeing the Hazon vision of God. All these things that is veiled in our hearts, like what it says, Moses. Let's read that again, right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. Friend, you cannot read chapter 4. This is chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. You can't read chapter 4 just now where it says the devil has blinded the minds of the people with a veil, right? And here it says there's a veil and the people's minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Hallelujah. So when they read the Old Testament today, when they read the Old Testament, what they see is actually the natural, which is deadly. You know, earlier on in this chapter, it says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, there are some who interpret the letter as the word of God. You know, if you just write like that, it will kill. Nothing could be further from the truth. God's word is life. That is that's actually abusing the scripture in saying that. And the scriptures are actually given to life. The word of God is living and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But the letter here refers to the law and to the law only. And the whole context refers to, right, the law and the new covenant, the ministry of condemnation versus the ministry of righteousness. Amen. The ministry of the law and the ministry of the new covenant. Amen. The ministry that demands righteousness, and if it doesn't find it, and all of us don't have it in and of ourselves, it has to curse, it has to condemn. Or the new covenant, the ministry that imparts righteousness as a gift to sinful men, when received, amen, change our status before God forever. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. So the Bible says when they read the Old Testament, there's still a veil on their heart, on their minds. There's still a veil. They can't see it. Like there are people who preach, you know, on for example, I'll give you a passage from Moses, okay, from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, which is penned by Moses. Now, there's a story there of Abraham bringing his son Isaac to the mountain, and he was about to plunge the knife into his son, right? You know the story, and God stopped him, and God says, "Now I know that you fear me because you have not withheld your son, your only son." And God early on told him, "Take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and offer him." But now God stopped him, and the Bible says he looked behind him and saw a ram, and he sacrificed the ram instead. Okay, there are those who teach that God wants your Isaac. Now, this is teaching naturally from the story. God is after your Isaac. God wants your Isaac. Amen. Instead of saying that that was a unique situation to unveil Christ, amen, they make it natural, and now it becomes deadly, the letter that kills. You know, you don't see Christ in it anymore. You know, every ceremony, every type in the first five books of Moses, because this is what he's referring to, Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Every ceremony, every ritual, every sacrifice, every type, amen, refers to Jesus. Amen. So let's do the story here. When God says, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, it is for us to see Jesus in it, that Isaac is the promised son and his birth was supernatural. Likewise, Jesus is the promised seed, amen, and his birth is supernatural. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus is the one that God would give up, the son that he loves. Amen. His only son, the son that he loves. He will give up the son that he loves for you and for me. Amen. That's how we have to see it. And when we see that, our lives are transformed. Now we see the spirit that gives life. Instead of the letter that kills, we see the spirit that gives life. And that's why the whole passage talks about the Lord is the spirit. The spirit behind every ceremony, the spirit behind every ritual, behind every sacrifice. If we see the Lord, then we have life. Because the spirit gives life. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. And also in the last verse, it says, we all with unveiled face. Why? Because we have turned to the Lord. Notice in verse 16 earlier, it says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen. And how do you do that? The Lord is the Spirit. So whenever we see the Lord in the Scriptures, that's the Spirit that gives us liberty. Amen. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So every time we look at the Scriptures, amen, and we see the glory of the Lord, amen. You know how we see the glory of the Lord? Like, for example, what I shared just now about Abraham sacrificing his son. Amen. We see instead God giving up the son that he loves, his only son. Amen. Don't you feel loved? Amen. If God spared not his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. And then when God stopped Abraham, and this is what God said, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son. Now I know you love me. Now I know you fear me because you have not withheld your son. So God's measure of his worship of God, his fear of the Lord, his love for God is measured by his willingness to sacrifice the son that he loved. So we can look to God and we can say, Lord, now I know that you love me because you have not withheld your son, your only son, the son that you love. Now, when you read Scriptures that way, you see Jesus in the Scriptures. Amen. The letter, the natural explanation. Amen. The natural, the law and all the ceremonies and all that, You just read it like that. God demands this from me. God demands that of me. God demands this of me. It will kill. But if you see Jesus in it, the Spirit gives life. Amen. When the Spirit gives life, even the dead spots in your brain come alive. Amen. Amen. When the Spirit gives life, all the parts that's damaged in your body, amen, that's breaking down, you know, it's imparted. Life comes into it. Amen. Amen. Life. Don't just refer to eternal life. We already have eternal life. The Spirit gives life. Amen. Even life in the natural. Amen. Life for our body. Amen. Because every time we are leaking life, you know, we need to be revived, vivified. Amen. And the vivified. Amen. And the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So we see the two references, Zion, Israel, will come something, a knowledge, a technology, or, you know, an example set or something like, but it will come from Israel. Amen. That's what I see in the natural. But because the secrets of wisdom are twofold, and then we also see the spiritual part where God says He will destroy the veil that covers people's minds. Amen. That means what? There's going to be a great revival. Hallelujah. Before this happens, there'll be a great feast. Amen. And that's the feast is for His people to enjoy. Amen. Feast and then see the victory. Hallelujah. And I want to show you right now, this whole thing is prophetic of the times that we are living in. Why? Many a times it's applied for the millennium. All right. But look at the whole context here. I'm going to show you that it is a prophetic picture of the times we live in. Why? Because right after verse 7, where He will destroy the face of the covering, the next verse says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Do you see that? The very first line of verse 8 says, He will swallow up death. Of verse 8 says, He will swallow up death in victory. Remember where we saw this verse earlier? In 1 Corinthians 15, when this corruptible has put on incorruptible. It says here in verse 54, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, referring to our body tree, a direct quote, the Apostle Paul quoted directly from Isaiah 25. Amen. Verse 8. In other words, it's sequential. First of all, a great feast. Amen. Which refers to the times that we are in. Amen. There's going to be a big spread. So I believe revival is coming to churches and to churches everywhere. Amen. And then there'll come a destroying of the veil, which is symbolic of the pandemic that we are in. Amen. And then the Bible says the rapture. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Where death, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Where death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Can you see the sequence? And then we'll say to one another, lo, Him. Amen. That's why our posture is to wait for His Son from heaven. That one day we'll say, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, we live on this earth. Amen. The Bible says about prophetic teaching. One thing good about prophetic teaching, don't go into, on the YouTube and, on the internet, searching for, juicy pieces that is extra biblical. Like people saying, this person prophesied, this is going to happen. This person prophesied and all that. Look, I got no stones to throw at all these prophecies and all that. But stick to the Bible prophecy. Amen. Where it tells you this person, that person and all that. That to me, God won't hold you accountable for that. Amen. But there's a lot of danger in that as well. Because a lot of prophecies don't come to pass. There are those who say that Jesus will come back in this year. It never happened. And it gives a bad reputation to those who are teaching Bible prophecy accurately. We must teach Bible prophecy. Amen. A great part of the Bible is prophecy. Okay. And the benefit of prophecy is this. When we have this hope, when the people of God have this hope in them, the Bible says this blessed hope purifies themselves. Amen. Whoever has this hope purifies himself. Hallelujah. Amen. And gives you positive expectation of good in your future. Amen. You live your life like life is not just temporal for this life. It is for the life to come. Amen. Where we live, we'll reign forever with Him. Praise the name of Jesus. It changed your perspective. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank God for this privilege of sharing with all of you this prophetic truth. So stick to the Bible. Don't start asking, you know, what about this person who prophesied this? This man of God said that this person prophesied many years ago. All that is fine and all that. But, you know, many a times it breeds fear in people's hearts. Stick to the Bible. If it's Bible truth, it will always impart faith. If your revelation of it is accurate, it will always impart faith and joy and blessed hope. Amen. Not fear and a trepidation of the future. That's not Bible prophecy. Amen. So stop looking around and trying to, you know, listen to what this person says and that person says and all that. Even what I say, amen, unless it's in the Word of God. Amen. Stick to the Scriptures, what the Bible tells us about the second coming of the Lord and about the rapture. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So we are so excited to see this. And I know that the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching, though no one knows the day nor the hour. The day there is a general day. Amen. Like a season. Amen. The day the Lord's coming. So much the more when we see it's coming nearer and nearer. Amen. We are to encourage one another. Amen. To encourage one another. Praise the Lord. And we are to not forsake the assembling. We are praying for that to happen. God has to make that happen. Amen. All over the world for God's people to come back physically together. Hallelujah. And it shall happen. Amen. So from Zion will proceed forth. Amen. The answer. Praise the Lord. God will cause Zion to bring forth the answer for this pandemic. Amen. That's the natural. And the spiritual is that the days are upon us, that the veil that blinds people's eyes to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will be lifted. Amen. And we believers will be transformed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord, as we behold Him. Amen, amen, amen. It's so important that you stay in the new covenant. Amen. Don't have one foot in the law on Mount Sinai and one foot on Mount Zion. It does not work. If you are on the wrong mountain, it does not say, on Mount Sinai, I will destroy the veil. He did not say that. He says, on this mountain, Mount Zion, I'll destroy the veil. On Mount Zion, that's where the feast of wines on the lees, the feast of marrow, the feast of all good things are all there at Mount Zion. Amen. At Mount Zion, He will destroy the pandemic. Amen. Stay in Mount Zion. Stay in the place where it's unshakable. The Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Amen. They shall not be shaken forever. They shall not be moved forever. The same idea there, you'll be established. And people will come to you because they will see someone that's poised, that is strong, that is settled. Amen. Like a rock of Gibraltar. Amen. In the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. You will stand firm. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. And friend, go out there and tell your colleagues this truth I'm sharing. Tell them about Jesus coming. Amen. Tell them that He is coming back. Praise the Lord. Amen. Share with them the good news. Amen. In the name of Jesus, lift the veil off their eyes and their hearts. Amen. And let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, you don't have to convince them. You only have to share the gospel, share the good news with your friends, your relatives. You just have to share the good news. In the good news is the light, the glorious gospel light that will shine into the hearts and the minds of the people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And our lives, we got to make sure that we don't confuse people. One foot on the law, one foot on grace, one foot on demand, one foot on supply, one foot on Mount Sinai, one foot on Mount Zion. Make sure we stay here. Amen. Make sure we are conscious. The spirit of new covenant is being conscious of the Father. Not just Elohim or El Shaddai or Yahweh, the way the Jews would call Him in the Old Testament, but more than that, Father. All right? And all the names that I just mentioned just now is all encompassed in the name Father. It's as a name Father that Jesus came to reveal Him to us. Amen? Amen. Jesus revealed Him as Father, that the love by which He loved us may be in us. Amen? The love the Father loved Him will be in us. It'll be a wonderful fellowship of love. Praise the Lord. And with that, we can face life. Amen? Amen. Good things happen to those who believe God loves them. I have a message I preach on this title, years ago. Good things happen to people who believe God loves them. Amen. Amen. Experience that, the Father's love. And not only that, what are you now? Are you someone that God is finding fault with? No. You are someone, you are blessed. You know why? Because God will not impute sin to you. Does that make you want to sin? No. It makes you want to live for God. Live the glorious life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And who is in you? The Holy Spirit. He's not on you only to live again after an assignment, like He was on the saints of the Old Testament. Amen. We are in the New Covenant. He's in us forever. Amen. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth, teach you all things. And notice Jesus said also, He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Amen. Well, I trust you've been blessed. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Stay in the spirit of the New Covenant. Love one another. Amen. In your family life. Amen. If there are you know, glaring faults and all that, forgive. Amen. Why? In the spirit of the New Covenant, we've been forgiven much. So forgive. Amen. Let God do the transformation. We do the loving. We don't demand the transformation so that we can love. Amen. We love and let God do the transformation. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I feel like God is speaking to someone. Amen. And telling you that you're waiting for the transformation instead of loving first, forgiving first. Forgive, and then God will do the transformation. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. There's someone I see that you're trying to reach out, and every time you try to reach out your hand above your shoulder, you feel a very sharp pain that goes all the way back to your shoulder. Whoever you are, lift your hand right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord has healed you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another knee condition being healed. And I want you to lift up your knee right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your knee in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is healing you of that condition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's someone, you have this, let me try to describe this. There's a pain that goes from your joint, you know, your jaw, where your joint hinges here. Yep, all the way down. That's the best way I can describe it. God is healing you. In fact, that condition caused you not to be able to sleep on the side. And it's caused you a lot of pain here and there. It comes on and off as well. But especially when you're sleeping, the Lord heals you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another blockage of the heart, open up by the Spirit of God. Amen. You are healed. Amen. Go back to the doctor and get a good report from him. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone has a tooth right at the upper tooth on your right side, all the way to the back. God is healing it. Amen. God is filling it in the name of Jesus. It will do you good to go and see the feeling. Something God can fill with gold and silver. Amen. But God is filling it. God is healing and filling it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. If it's gold or silver, please send us a picture of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, for those of you believing God, for any part of your body that is hurting, stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you. Remember that healing is part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Healing is actually temporal. When we have a new body, there's no more need for healing. Amen. But in this life, in the here and now, while we are waiting for His Son from heaven, we all need healing. Amen. And the Bible says, forget not all His benefits. A lot of people today have forgotten some of His benefits. They remember, yeah, God, you know, forgives us of all our iniquities. Yeah, but the next line says, who heals all your diseases. Now, you cannot spiritualize that because, oh, that means He heals us, forgives us of our sins. No, that's done in the first part already. It says, who forgives us of all our iniquities. There's one benefit. But we're not to forget what? All. Forget not all His benefits. And one of them is what? Amen. He heals. How much? All your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. That is protection. Amen. Is it part of the benefit that God tells us don't forget? Yes. Amen. And the other one, who crowns you with compassion and loving kindness. So you're crowned with favor. Like there's a glorious, you know, light around you. And wherever you go, blessings. Amen. Blessings. You are a blessing everywhere you go. Praise the Lord. And blessings abound upon you as well. Praise the Lord. Now, remember this. When you are blessed, it's not the place you are in. Amen. Blessed are you in the city and blessed are you in the country. It's not the location. It is you that's blessed. Amen. And wherever you go, blessing comes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. And I want to pray for you right now. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit just arresting me right now to speak this word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that bondage over your life, that sickness to be lifted off your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I proclaim healing to that part of your body, that disease, in the name of Jesus. Amen. That part of your body that is decaying, in the name of Jesus, I speak resurrection life into it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, be restored. Amen. Many of you are feeling like dead spots in your brain, like you know, you're having mental fog and you're forgetful. In the name of Jesus, Father in heaven, I speak your resurrection life to that brain in its every part. In the name of Jesus, let it come alive, Father. Amen. Let it become whole in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. And I rebuke that pain right now. In the name of Jesus, that a person is laying hands right now on that pain. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain and I command healing to flow into your body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now from the crown of your heads to the very soles of your feet, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. One of the benefits that I did not mention, the last one, and we are not to forget all. Amen. We are not to forget, not even a single one of them. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Oh, to be young again. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me pray that for you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone who feels like they're advancing in years, Lord, and the best days are behind them. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will, as your word says, restore them, Lord, to the days of their youthful vigor. Amen. Restore them, Lord. Bring them back to the days of their youthful vigor. Renew their youth and strength like the eagles, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we'll not forget all your benefits. We'll not forget all your benefits. They're all ours. Say that. They're all mine in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. If you have never made Jesus your personal Savior and Lord, friend, the Holy Spirit is compelling you. Amen. To come into salvation. Amen. To come into forgiveness. To come into wholeness. To come into peace. Amen. It's amazing. He compels us to be blessed. Hallelujah. So right now, if that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Christ died for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I believe that all my sins, past, present, and future, have all been put away, completely forgiven. I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is my Lord forevermore. Thank you, Father, that you love me with an everlasting love. Nothing I do can change your love for me. Thank you, Father, and that perfect love cast out every fear from my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You are now a child of God. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. Please write to us and let us know that this is what has happened to you. You prayed a prayer. Amen. So that we can forward you some materials that will help you on your Christian walk. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet, church. Hallelujah. It's so good. And I look forward to the blessing part because I know it's not just words spoken into the air. Amen. God ordained this. God says, speak these words and I will bless them. Praise the name of Jesus. Lift your hands if you can. This coming week, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, with the blessing of Father Abraham. And the Lord keep you and your loved ones from the COVID-19 virus, from every infection, from every disease, from every danger, and from all the power of the evil one through the blood of his Son. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be favorable to you. The Lord has crowned you with his compassion and loving kindness. A circle of favor surrounds you. You are crowned with his greatest favors and you are going somewhere to happen this week. Hallelujah. The Lord lift up his countenance on everyone under the sound of my voice and grant to you and yours his wonderful shalom peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. God bless you all. I'll see you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God. This month, we would love to send you a copy of Joseph's special resource, Healed and Whole, as a thank you for your gift of support to our ministry. If you or someone you know is struggling with pain or sickness in their body today, don't lose hope. Let Joseph show you from God's Word how the Lord wants you healed, healthy, and whole. Catch a glimpse of the Father's heart for you and begin to experience God's restoration in every area of your life.
Be bold to receive, because Jesus paid for it.
And for a specific gift, receive a gift collection which includes Joseph's brand new 5-DVD album. Receive 360-degree healing, God's promise of divine health and wholeness.
Surely He bore our diseases and carried our pains. Himself took our infirmities. When you have the person, you have the value of the work. Put your eyes on the Lord. Just to see Him, faith is there.
Don't miss out on these great resources. Request your copy today and learn how you can experience God's divine healing and wholeness for you and your loved ones. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
If you or your loved one is battling a physical condition, I want to pray for you today. Would you put your hand on the area that is hurting as I pray over you? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke every sickness that is causing the symptoms and pain in your body right now. In the name of Jesus, I curse every disease in your body and I command it to be uprooted and thrown into the sea in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. By His stripes, you have been made every whit whole. I pronounce you healed from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. Your body is restored in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that right now the Lord is imparting a fresh infusion of divine health to you right now. You can tell that you've been already healed. Praise the Lord, and I'm rejoicing with you. Be sure to write in to us and share your testimony. If you have not yet received your complete healing, I want you to know that your healing has already begun. It's like what the Bible says, 30-fold manifestation, then 60-fold, and then 100-fold. As you are believing the Lord for your 100-fold harvest, I encourage you to watch our program online at josephprince.tv. It is a great platform to consume the gospel and allow the Lord to bring healing and health to every area. And with josephprince.tv, you can watch our broadcast on all your devices 24/7. Sign up for an account today and we'll send you an encouraging teaching resource as my gift to you. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.